And thank you. Thank you again for joining us this morning on May the 22nd, 2017, for episode 12 of Coffee with Decoder. We have a guest expert joining us this morning. And Heather, say hello.
Hi, everybody. Good morning.
Heather is an important part of our team at AQIQ and at AQ Consulting. And I'd just like, if you wouldn't mind, take us a second and introduce us, because, I mean, we've seen you on the site, but this is your first appearance on Coffee with Decoder. So how did you get to be an expert with AQIQ and AQ Consulting?
Sure. I started off getting my degree in psychology, and I got an interest in sort of how the back office affects patient care. And that sort of led me in the direction of coding. And then about 5 years ago, I got the job at AQ Consulting and AQIQ, and since then I've been able to do audits in several different areas, inpatient, outpatient, physician's office, and a lot of inpatient rehab. I've also done a lot of creating education and some presenting, and on the back end I do a lot of research for questions you guys send and questions that we have just internally, so I think I've gotten a good range of all the different areas and niches in coding.
Wonderful. Well, we're so happy to have you, and I know our listeners don't always get to hear everyone who's part of the team, so I'm really excited that you were able to join us today. Let's just jump right on into the questions. Today's first question is from Angie. Angie's working in an inpatient rehab, and she's wondering, she doesn't want to be confused. Apparently, she's coding the ERFPi and the UB, because she says, let's just clarify, the UB04 has a seventh character of D, but the ERFPi will have a seventh character of A. If the A code on the ERFPi that will make the case compliant, is that right? I just want to make sure I'm understanding this correctly.
Okay. Well, the direct answer to that question is yes, that's correct. But that's only going to be true for the etiologic diagnosis. And as an aside to that, if it was a fracture, and it was an open fracture, then you're not going to use that A, you're going to use a B or C, because A is going to only be for the initial encounter for closed fractures. Now, in regards to comorbidity codes, it's going to be a little bit different, and I think it's that where a lot of the confusion comes in with the seven characters on the ERFPi specifically. If the injury or fracture occurred prior to admission to rehab, so before the patient's on our floor, then you're going to use that seventh character D and not A. Now, I know that seems like a little bit of a contradiction, but in the ERF context, we define the patient as having a current diagnosis requiring the use of the seventh character extension A if the patient requires current treatment for the injury and if the diagnosis has a direct effect on the patient's rehab therapy program. Now, we're using the A for the etiologic, because that's the condition that caused the need for rehab, so it's the underlying reason for why the patient's there. For the comorbidity, we're not actually providing active treatment because that fracture or the injury was likely treated before they came to rehab. So having said that, if the injury occurred in rehab, so while they're on the floor, so for example, if the patient had a hip fracture and that's why they're in rehab, then once they're in rehab, they fall and maybe they break their arm. If that happens, that arm fracture is going to be reported with the A, right, because it happened at admission, it happened while they were on the rehab floor, and we're treating the fracture while they're on the rehab floor. So for the UB, you are going to report it with the D, that's correct, but if it happens in rehab, again, we're going to report it with the A. And just to touch base on that compliance issue, that actually comes from CMS, who issued a clarification related to the seventh characters. And CMS said that if we're using the extension D, it's non-compliant because, and their rationale is a little bit strange, but they said that it would actually be adding conditions to that compliance list that were not included under ICD-9. So that's sort of their reasoning for why the D would not be compliant.
Does that mean they might change their mind later?
Well, I mean, they could. You know, CMS is sort of slow on a lot of things. And, I mean, I think I don't know that it's going to be happening anytime soon, but we're always on the lookout and we're researching that for you guys. So if we hear anything, we'll let you know.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Okay, I'm going to have another one here. This one's from a surgical center, and the person who asked the question did not want their name given. So I'm saying, good morning, Anonymous. Here's your question. How should we be coding for the DIEP procedures in our surgical center?
Okay. So for anyone who's not familiar with the term DIEP, a DIE flap is a type of breast reconstruction. And it's where the blood vessels that are called the deep inferior epigastric perforators, or DIEP, along with the skin and the fat that's connected to them, are removed from the lower abdomen, and then they're transferred to the chest to reconstruct the breast after a mastectomy. Now, there's been a lot of confusion out in the coding world, I think, regarding how to code this. And I did a little bit of research for it, and it seems that the appropriate code would be 19634. And I came upon that by looking at CPT Assistant, and I found two articles, one from June of 2010 and one from December of 2011, that indicate that for a breast reconstruction with a free flap, you're going to report 19364. Now, and the 2011 article goes a little bit further, and it tells us that that code includes the harvesting of the flap, the microvascular transfer, the closure of the donor site, and the transfer to the chest and inset. And it includes the creation of the breast mound. So that's how you would report the DIEP flap with code 19634.
Okay, thank you. Now we're going to head over back to an inpatient rehab, and we have a question from Tiffany in Arizona. She says, I'm working on a case for a patient who is admitted to rehab with debility following a planned surgery involving takedown of a prior ostomy. The patient originally presented with a perforated diverticulum and underwent an ostomy. Then they had multiple hospitalizations since the initial surgery. They now have debility, ST, is that status post? Multiple
right.
Surgeries for perforated diverticulum with abdominal wound care. We place this patient in the IGC of 16 for debility, and our coder suggested Z43.2 and counter for attention to ileostomy as the etiologic. Can I use a Z code as the etiologic, or should I ask for a code related to the perforated diverticulum as it appears to be the source of the need for the ostomy?
Right. Your line of thinking is right on that. In this case, the most appropriate code choice is going to be the perforated diverticulum, and I think that's going to be a code from the KCC7 subset, and it would be based on the location of the diverticulum. So what we need to determine to find out what code we need is first we need to understand exactly what the etiologic is, and the IRPI manual tells us that the etiologic is the ICD-10 code that indicates the etiologic problem that led to the impairment for which the patient is receiving rehab. So in other words, it's the underlying reason the patient's brought into rehab. It's not the surgical procedure, it's the reason for the procedure. So it's not the impairment or the debility, but the cause of that impairment. And in this case, the patient has undergone multiple surgeries related to that ostomy, but the underlying reason for those procedures was the perforated diverticulum. It caused the need for the procedure. So, like I said, your line of thinking is correct. And I think it's a good rule of thumb to never say never, generally speaking, in coding. But we're not going to see a Z code assigned as an etiologic. Generally, on the IRFPI, you're only going to see those Z codes reported as comorbidities. Now, you will see Z codes reported as the principal on the UB on occasion, but you wouldn't see it as the etiologic. And in this case, based on the information you provided, you would code the debility as the principal on the UB, and then, of course, that the perforated diverticulum as the etiologic on the IRFPI. And remember, a lot of times people think that, you know, your UB principal and your etiologic have to match, but that's just not the case all the time, and a lot of times they don't match, so don't let that scare you off from using those codes.
Thank you, Heather. Wow, we're just about out of time here. It's 19 minutes after, and before we go, I want to make sure that we have a winner on our mugging this morning, our official AQIQ coffee mug that you can that we will share with you and send you for free. So what I've done is written down the names of those who've submitted these questions, and as you've been talking, I've been moving them around in my hat, so to speak, on my desk, and so here I'm pulling out one, and the winner of today's official AQIQ coffee mug is Tiffany from Arizona. So we'll be reaching out to you. Congratulations, Tiffany, and getting your address so that we can send it out to you. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today for this episode, and we look forward to hearing you in 2 weeks on June 6th.